We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What up, sports fans? Welcome to another edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. I'm Vince D'Addario, that guy's Brian Driscoll, and we are right back at it again for another 1 o'clock show. 1 o'clock-ish show. And that's just always fun. Today is a fun one because we talked about in previous shows. Back up. Schedule for today is there's Irish breakdown for days.
It's such a busy day that Vince feels we got to just dive right in.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
A crazy day.
So Irish breakdown is going to be all over the place over the next few days. But today specifically, of course, we got our show today. We're going to talk freshmen. Then, of course, at 6 o'clock, we've got IB Nation Sports Talk with Sean Steyer. So he's going to be doing his thing from 6 to 7. And then you get an hour break.
He's talking about Vegas being down on Notre Dame again. It's going to be an interesting show. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Going with odds.
Kind of like how they had the, you know, Notre Dame, what was it, like 7.5, 8.5 wins last year? It's like
that was the easiest money I've ever made. Let's just put it that way. And that, so he's going to talk about sports odds and stuff like that. And then at 8 o'clock, IB will be back for the commitment announcement of Cam Williams. And Brian and Ryan will break down that commitment and, you know, wherever he's going to go. Wherever he's going to go. And what that means to Notre Dame, positive or negative. And so that'll be a fun one as well.
Feel good.
So, okay, I'll let you say it. So I never know where that line is. So I just stay off of it completely. But
normally we try to tote a little bit better, but like this one is so, and other Notre Dame commits are like, okay, guys, you're leaving like no suspense whatsoever. You can't blame us for this one.
Fair enough. So three shows today. And then multiple shows moving forward. I don't know if you want to jump into any of that, but we've got it's going to be a crazy
We'll get into that at the end of the day, but it's going to be a three shows today, 1, 6, and 8. And then it's just going to be crazy. We're going to have a show every day this week. It's going to be wild.
Yeah. So. Saturday and Sunday combined. So, but today.
I've been looking forward to this one, Vince.
Yeah, me too.
This is one like, because we were teasing it a little bit last
week. The breakout
week.
Players, right? When we were talking about, and we're like, okay, we're not going to talk about freshmen because that we're going to have a special show just on freshmen. And guess what? Today is that day. So
that's right.
It is just freshmen. It's freshmen that we think are going to contribute. And of course, there's different layers of contribution. Are they going to be a rotation player? Are they going to be a special teams player? Are they going to be
break into the starting role?
Right. Absolutely. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I'm pretty fired up about it, to be honest with you, because we've been doing this for a while, Brian, and it feels like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, your memory is 1,000 times better than me. This feels like a special freshman class. Yeah. It just feels like there's more names that can contribute, and not because they have to. It's because they can and they will. Like it's not like in the past where, but there's no depth on the defensive line. Freshmen have to play.
Have to play, right? Like Myron and Kurt Heinisch is freshman in 17. They had to play. Right?
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about guys that are coming in that are good enough to break into the 2 deep.
Potentially,
because they're good.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My wife is the coffee drinker in our house. So when I told her about trying out Trade Coffee, she was curious. When I told her that if she answered the survey Trade sent me, they could match her with brands she would like, she was downright skeptical. We ended up getting three different shipments from three regional coffee makers. And let me tell you, she was blown away. My coffee snob wife loved each and every new blend that she got. As a non-coffee drinker myself, I must admit, opening up the cabinet and getting a whiff of her most recent blend was aromatically pleasing. Trade sells the freshest roasted and ethically sourced beans from America's best independent roasters. They ship free to you and as often as you like, whole or ground. Whether you're a coffee connoisseur like my wife or just want a better daily cup, Trade's real coffee experts taste test over 400 roasts and use technology to match you to your ideal coffee based on your preferences and brewing method. Take the coffee quiz to get started. Trade Coffee guarantees you'll love your first bag or they'll replace it for free. And right now for Irish Breakdown listeners, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of 30 off your first order plus shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/Irish. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started when taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/Irish and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/Irish for $30 off. This is really a special group. I would say that there's maybe one position on offense where maybe a freshman kind of has to be ready to play, and that's Tobias Merriweather. We'll get into him specifically in a little bit. But as you said, Vince, you know, yeah, there were some misses last year and, you know, missed out on, you know, CJ Williams late, which is a bummer, and Devin Moore jumps out late, and that was a bummer. But it was just an excellent class. You know, it finished ranked sixth in the country, and I love that you went there, Vince, because I forgot to put that part of the whole class intro into the outline I sent you. So I was like texting you and you're like, dude, talk about the whole class. And before I hit send, you were already talking about it, because it is true where this is such a good class, Vince, that it's like,
yeah,
there's not a lot of spots. Like a lot of the guys on our list are defensive guys. There is nowhere on defense where a freshman is just walking into a situation where he has to play. Not one.
Exactly.
And right. Yet our list is primarily made up of freshmen because they're just too good.
Yeah.
And that's obviously especially true on special teams. And you know, then you look at on offense, obviously Jadarian Price would have been in this conversation if not for the knee injury. I mean, he would have been near the top of the list. And again, it was a situation where it's not that they needed Jadarian to come in and play as a freshman. It was just that he was so good in the spring that, you know, that he was just going to play. And I think there's going to a lot of that. I'm hearing some really good things about some of these players, Vince. And, you know, we'll kind of start off on the offensive side, because that's where a couple of the really guys that I'm hearing like, wow, this kid is the deal. I'm hearing a lot of that on offense. But just overall though, you know, we talk a lot about the need to stack classes on top of each other. Right. And the 21 class was so loaded on offense. They didn't add a ton of skill. You know, like there's the two tight ends, one receiver, one back, but the skill is really good.
Right.
But where 21 was lacking was kind of the defensive side of the ball. It just wasn't quite as deep in some spots. And, you know, then there's some projects with high upside, like corner. I love the upside, but all those guys needed work. You know, defensive line was kind of similar. You know, there was Jason Onye. I loved his upside, but he was going to need some time to develop and all that. But you balance that really great offensive class with Buckner and Diggs and Estime and Styles and Colsey and Thomas and Barong and, of course, the Joe Alt, Blake Fisher.
Yep.
Such a great freshman class. Now, this class is more of, we're saying that about the defense. And then the offensive class was sort of like some of the past defensive classes, like the 21 defensive class didn't have a lot, but it had a couple guys we really liked. You know, sure. It had, you and I love Ryan Barnes, Prince Colley, oh, yeah. Gabriel yep. Rubio. But then there was a bigger drop-off and a lot more projectable. Will Schweitzer, a kid that we both like his film, but he's going to need time. And yeah. He's got
a bit of a project. And, yeah, right. I mean, he's a ball of clay. You know? Right.
Chance Tucker's a guy that I know you liked even more than I did. I've been saying from day one, like, here's what I think of this kid, but I think he's going to make me look stupid, you know, yeah. for having that, you know, not a higher opinion. But it was like, you always knew he was going to need time.
Right.
This class is like, the veterans better watch out because right. if they exactly. don't bring it. And honestly, Vince, that's where I think this freshman class is going to have the biggest impact, even beyond their own individual impact. If you're a veteran linebacker, you can't take a day off.
No.
If you're a veteran corner, I would strongly encourage you not to take a day off.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're Absolutely. A defensive lineman, I would strongly encourage. And if you're a receiver, you definitely better, you know, and same thing at tight end. I mean, Michael right. Mayer's the dude, right?
Of course. And that's but they need at least two.
Right. Right. I mean, right. Mitchell Evans, Kevin Bauman, Kane Barong. Like, y'all better bring it. And the point is if those guys don't play, the odds are pretty good that it's because their talent and the overall culture of the program is such that those veterans are that competition that Marcus Freeman talks about nonstop.
Right.
Talked about it again when I interviewed him, when I sat down with him in his office the other day. It's the competition and just like in everything. Like we started meetings off with like Gatorade chugging contests, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just one of those things where it's like, it's everything. He's like, we compete about everything, grades, drinking Gatorade. I mean, just everything.
Love it. I love the competition.
Yes. But it's the same. Then we talked about like how it's on the field too, right? Like you better bring it because we're going to keep recruiting talented guys. That's what we always hear about Bama. That's what we heard about USC when they were great. You know, we talked about when Pete was here and they were really, really thriving. You know, it was one of those things where they would talk about how like Saturday was the easy part.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And that's what Coach Freeman's trying to build. We've talked about how that was that way in 2017 with the D-line. Mike Elko kind of talked about that. Like their easiest parts of the year were Saturdays because right. they weren't having to go against Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey and Alex Bars and those guys anymore. And that's what they're trying to build. But that's why this freshman class is so important, especially on defense, because even though the defense right now is the stronger side of the ball, the deeper side of the ball, the more established side of the ball, those guys can't rest easy because of how good this freshman Absolutely. Class is.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, and that's what we say, Vince, you've experienced this as a coach. I've experienced as a coach. Everyone in this chat that's been a coach, I don't care what sport it is,
right?
Any kind of team sport, freshmen can have younger players yeah. can have an impact, even if it's not them, because their talent forces everybody else to say, hey, if I want to keep this job, I got to stay locked in because I can't take a day off. I'm not feeling good today. I had a fight with my girlfriend last night.
Right. Right.
There's an issue at home. There's this, all the things that plague these kids, right? Because these are young men that battle life just like we all battle life. But it's those kind of things that make you say, I'll deal with that later. Because right now, for these next 2 hours, yeah. I got to lock in and bring it. And that makes you a better football team.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, it's similar to the movie Miracle, where Herb Brooks brought that kid in from Minnesota in the middle of their training camp. And they're like, whoa, what is like, cause they got complacent. Right. And then he comes in and they kind of gel together and they get more competitive, et cetera, et cetera. I see that every year when I bring new guys up to the varsity at the high school level, even right. Mm-hmm. And the guys that have been there, they're like, okay, that kid's not taking my spot. Right. You know, this is my right. spot. And it ups the level of competition. And I love that. And that's kind of similar to what you were talking about. And if you, like you said, if you're a coach, you've seen it a million times. If you're a player, you've definitely seen it. A transfer kid comes in. Oh, coach thinks that we need this guy. Well, I'm here and I'm going to make sure that we don't need that guy. You know right. what I mean? It's very similar to that.
Right.
And there's a ton of talent in this freshman class that's coming in. And if the players didn't know it before June, whatever, they're getting to know it here pretty quickly. And it's only going to amp up the competition. And if it doesn't amp up the competition for some of these veterans, they're going to lose playing time. Plain and simple.
One thing that I have heard that I think is important, and I'm still trying to gather more intel about, you know, who we're hearing, and that's why this show isn't about, well, here's who we're hearing is going to play, because I'm still gathering that. It's still early in the summer, Vince. I mean, we'll have more as we kind of get into mid-July and things like that. You know, but one of the things I have heard, and I was talking to the parent of a freshman yesterday.
Okay.
And he was talking about, you know, how the coaches are really encouraging the freshman class to push and to push and to work and not settle for sitting on the bench and those kind of things. But he said what they really liked was the fact that the veterans were still very welcoming. It's like there's not that looking over your shoulder and then treating that young kid like poorly, because which is the mark of a team with a bad culture. And that is when I start hearing things like that, Vince. It's like, you know, they're shunning this freshman because they don't want him to take the spot of their buddy. That's the mark of an unhealthy football culture.
That's a bunch of individuals.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. That care more about their feelings than winning games. Because most teams, like, hey, that's my boy, but yo, this cat can help us win. We got to play him.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
And that's the mark of a healthy culture. And so that's what we're hearing so far, is that the young, like the veterans are taking these young guys, coaching them up. Hey, correcting this. Like if a kid's screwing up, like if you're only worried about yourself, you're like, I don't screw up. I'm not doing it, because then he's going to take my job. But that's not what we're hearing. We're hearing that the veterans are embracing these kids, coaching these kids up. You know, like you're hearing Jason and Justin Adamiola are working with Tyson Ford and Aiden Gobira. You know, you're hearing Foskey and the leadership he's bringing, Cam Hart with the younger corners. I mean, those are all things you love to hear.
Absolutely.
Because that's the mark of a healthy football team. But that's sort of the big picture talk, Vince. I'm excited to start diving into these guys individually.
No question. So we're going to start on offense. And you want to go in the order of the list that we had discussed? Okay. Just wanted to double check. So let's start at wide receiver, because I think, and we both made the point that this freshman class is going to push their way into the conversation regardless of what's going on at the depth chart. I think this is the one position where you could say you could push back on that just a little bit, right? Because depth is not where they want it at the wide receiver position. That's not an argument. That's a fact. You yourself said they you know, you want to kind of be at the 10 scholarship player mark, and I think they've got 7 returning scholarship players, right? So they're below where they want to be. It's a perfect opportunity for a talented freshman to come in and make some noise, and Tobias Merriweather is already making some noise.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised at all.
No,
I mean, I'm not.
Neither.
Like, I would have been more surprised if we didn't hear it, but that he is one of the players that I've heard a lot about from just different sources. Like, yeah, this kid's legit, you know, because he's so long. It's everything you'd expect, right? He's long, he's fast for his size, you know, great ball skills, great route runner. And he's got a little bit of that dog in him, Vince, right? And that's something as a football coach you love. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, like that lead, that, you know, I'm the leader of the pack, man. Like, I'm going to compete, I'm going to battle, you know, like, I know I'm better than you and I'm going to go show it, right? Like, that's what we mean by, like, you know, when you got that dog in him, and I'm going to outwork you. And he's got a little bit of that, right? And you need that confidence. That's the thing is, Vince, is I don't care how talented you are. If you don't have that, you're not going to play early.
Right.
When you're young, you have to have a little bit of that. And so obviously with the numbers being on the thinner side, there's a few less reps to go around or the few more reps to go around.
For the younger guy. Yep.
Right. And so, you know, from what I've heard is Tobias kind of showed up, like, and this is something that I have been told by multiple people close to the program, that they've said the coaches have told these kids, do not even think about coming here and sitting for a year and trying to get your feet wet. Skill players, you know, I mean, lineman's a different animal. Like, you're not telling Amir Wagner, hey, you better be ready to beat out, you know, Joe Walden. He's 260 pounds, right? You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying. Absolutely. Skill's different than lineman, offensive lineman. But, you know, they're telling Tobias and the tight ends and all these other guys, you better come in ready to play. And Tobias is one of those guys that didn't need to be told that.
Right.
Like, that's kind of who Tobias is, right?
Good call.
And so showed up at 188. I expect him to be over 190 pounds by the time the season starts, which is going to be great. I mean, if he shows up at 188, then you're like, okay, then you're going to get at least 5 pounds during the summer.
And they've got him listed as 190 on the roster. So they've already.
The one I saw the other day had him at 188. So they even must have updated it.
Yeah, they've updated it. I think they added the walk-ons and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, so that's going to be important. And, you know, again, he's going to continue to fill out. But, you know, he's a guy, Vince, as we've talked about, he brings something different to the roster that they don't really have, you know. And again, he's got that, like we've talked, compared him to T. Higgins, and, you know, 6'4 plus. His dad's a track guy. His dad's a track coach. And, you know, Tobias, I think last year as a junior on the same day, won the 1, 2, and 4 in state championships. He won at least a couple of them this year, but he was battling a hamstring injury, which tells you a lot that he won a state championship in track while dealing with a hamstring issue.
Average.
You know, and he's just that long strider type of kid. He's healthy now, but the point is the dad's kind of taught him all the things that you need to have when you're that kind of guy. He won the 200 and finished second in the 100 at the state championship
meet. That's moving.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's moving. Pretty
good. And yeah. I don't think he competed in the 400 because of the
hamstring.
Yeah,
because of the hamstring. Doing three races is tough.
Yeah.
In any track meet. I can tell you that from experience. Yeah.
And he kind of did that all, like, he didn't do as much of the 400 as a senior as he did as a junior. I think a lot of it had to do with the hamstring.
And I'm sure depending on what the rest of his team looked like, they were trying to get him in the relays as well. Right. You know what I mean? So like that's a lot of stuff to do in the meet.
So the point is he's going to be in great shape.
Yeah.
Right. He's going to be, you know, track athletes. I feel like football players tend to either be super tightly wound or really flexible. I think Tobias is more on the really flexible side. He's more of a football player that also does track, you know, and his dad's. So the running technique is going to be good. Track guys tend to be more efficient with their, you know, they can be coached into being good route runners a lot of times, especially the taller guys, because they understand the importance of technique and efficiency and getting out of the blocks fast and, you know, the need to eliminate wasted motion and all that kind of stuff, which is going to help him. And you saw that on the football field when he was in high school. And I think part of the reason he was overlooked is because there's this, obviously he's from Washington, didn't go to a lot of camps because he was a track guy. He wasn't going to camps because he's running track.
He's
trying to win a state championship in track.
Right.
And then of course, his junior year, there's the COVID stuff. So he couldn't do that summer. He did some of it a little bit, but it's all like regional because of COVID things and all that type of stuff. So I think that kind of tamped down. And he played in a system that just didn't give him the ball enough, to be honest with you.
Right.
But an extremely talented player and a guy that Notre Dame people are excited about. And the thing too, Vince, is he does two things, right? Number one, he can play to the field and have a chance to, you know, with him and Deion Colsey or him and Jaden Thomas, there's an opportunity to have a bigger alignment.
Sure.
He can kind of play to the field. He's got that route running ability. He's got the, you know, he can run crossers and drags as well as the vertical oriented routes. He's got enough wiggle. I mean, you saw in the high school film. I mean, he can make guys miss for a big guy. I mean, he's not going to look like Reggie Bush, but he can make people miss. So he can throw a screen to him. Right. You can throw a screen to him and do some different things with him. But he also has, especially if he's over 190 by the time the season starts, there's the potential for him to really also make an impact in that boundary stuff. And that's where I'm told he's playing right now.
That's the boundary. That's where I would want him to be, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And it's because of that size and, you know, but the concern with the boundary is, you know, freshman who's like a buck 80, you know, in high school, like, can he handle the physical
press coverage and all that? But
that's the thing that I've heard. That's where the 190 plus impacts events.
Well, and I will also say if this was this time last year, I would have more worry about a young kid learning technique about how to get off the line of scrimmage than I do now. I mean, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, but it's just a simple fact.
Yeah.
I have a lot more faith in the teaching that is going on when it comes to press coverage and technique than I have in the past. And Chancey Stuckey's going to teach him how to do it.
And Tobias comes in with, I mean, that's the one thing Ryan and I were talking about the other day is he's a very advanced football player.
Right.
I mean, I joked with you one time. I think I sent you a tweet during the season and I said, it was a clip of Tobias just shaking a kid at the line of scrimmage. And I was like, this is the best route technique press release technique I've seen from it. Do you remember that now? Mm-hmm. This is the best press technique I've seen from a Notre Dame receiver all year.
Right.
And it was a clip of him in a high school football game on Friday night. And so he comes with a good baseline. And then you add on to top of that, Vince, the fact that we think Coach Stuckey's going to do it. Right. He's going to have he's going to be a guy that right away you're like, okay, this guy's got a chance. And he is going to help us learn ultimately about Deion Colsey.
There you go. Yep, absolutely.
Because Deion's going to be like, okay, this dude's bringing it. Let me match that. And if that happens, then this is going to be really fun.
And I like that 1-2 punch over there if they can make that work. Because I'm with you 100%. I think a lot of people have forgotten about Deion because
he's a sophomore now, so it's time to move on from him.
Yeah, we're done with him.
Someone in the 2025 class.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people have forgotten about Deion, and I mean that seriously because a couple of times that he got an opportunity, you know, he looked a little bit lost, but I don't put that on him. Right. And he has an amazing opportunity only as a sophomore to come in and prove a lot of people wrong, because they're already thinking about Tobias Merriweather taking his spot, et cetera, et cetera.
He may, but
that's got to up his game. Right. And if they can get a nice little 1-2 going over there at the boundary position, it's only going to help the both of them, right, frankly, because they're, you know, less reps, more explosion, all of those different things. If they can both provide solid time at that boundary position, that's going to make this group that much better.
Yeah. That's the interesting thing, Vince, is that Deon Colsey dynamic. Because if they both step up, then this receiving corps is going to be really, really, yes, really special. Because, like, we know what Avery is going to be, right? As long as he's healthy, Avery's going to be Avery.
Steady Eddie.
Last year,
be his guy.
You know, 40 catches, 600 yards, 5 touchdowns, great slot production, right? You know at least the floor of what Braden Lindsay's going to be.
Sure.
Right? And then Lorenzo Styles, right? So that duo right there, you know, if Braden doesn't step up, Lorenzo can easily slide outside to the X and Avery can be the Z. If Braden steps up, which you and I predict that he is going to have a breakout, then all of a sudden you can lose Lorenzo in the slot. You can use Lorenzo outside. You can use Braden outside. You can use Braden in the slot. You could put Lorenzo in the boundary at times. So I feel like really good about the field possibilities.
Yeah.
And then also if Tobias and Deon step up, when Joe Wilkins comes back, you can use him more to the field, where I think he's better suited.
I agree with that one.
And then you also don't have to force Jaden Thomas into the boundary. And that opens – so all of a sudden the depth chart is starting to look really interesting. And then you can use guys in different packages. So I just love the idea of coming out 12 personnel once, Vince, where I've got Deon Colsey to one side. I've got Tobias Merriweather to the other side. I've got Michael Mayer and – pick a tight end, you know, like roll the dice, pick a tight end, and right, start feeling really good about your ability to just come run at people.
Yeah.
But then on the very next play, be like, we're going to throw down the field because we've got these Giants. I mean, you start having kind of flashbacks of what, Vince? Samardzija Stovall, right? Like those, you know, Miles and Chase in 2018. You know, you start feeling really good about those kind of things.
Absolutely. My confidence level in the wide receivers grows as Tobias Merriweather
And Deon Colsey, right.
And Deon Colsey, right. Absolutely. Yeah, 100% agree with that.
Agree.
So
speaking of tight ends.
I was going to say, we've been doing this about a year and a half, man. The transitions are just smooth, baby. Speaking of tight end, we've got Eli Raridan, Holden Stays, and you mentioned it. If the guys that are on the roster already don't bring it, these guys are going to be like, okay. And
they still might.
Yeah.
And that's how good this duo is.
Absolutely.
Some of the guys could play okay and still get beat out by these kids. And I'm not predicting, and this isn't like, you know, we need to be careful about like the hype train of the freshman, right? And you know, we pick apart the veteran and, you know, everything he's does wrong. And then, well, this guy's going to beat him out. What makes you say that? Well, this guy didn't do this. Well, that other guy hasn't had a chance to do that. We don't know what he's going to do, you know, because based on high school film, this kid is this, and now you're dogging him because of what he didn't do as a true freshman. And you're just going to assume this other, you know, I hate that stuff, right? I hate the dismissing, and it's getting younger and younger and younger. Like now we're like, you know, Tyler Buckner, he's done. Let's replace the 24 quarterback. You know what I mean? Like
done. Don't need
really?
Him. Yeah.
Really? Same thing with Deon Colsey and all these other guys. So I don't want to get into that, but look, but we also have to call it like it is. And the reality is that Eli Raridan and Holden Stace, just God-given talent-wise, have as much, if not more talent than anybody else on the roster other than that dude named Michael Mayer.
Right.
Like, you know, I think Kane Barong kind of can be in that option, is sort of like the H-back kind of thing. I really like Kane's talent a lot. But when I look at Bauman and Mitchell Evans, who are, you know, quality players, like these cats bring a little something different to the table. Yes. Now, will we see that as freshmen? We don't know. And I still want to see, I don't want Eli Rare to get rushed into this too much because he's coming back from the knee injury.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing for me with him.
But
he was a dude. Like, I was excited about him as a football player, you know what I mean? Watching his film and things like that. But then seeing his basketball highlights as well, it's like, okay, he's a tight end. Yeah. All right. Like, this kid is an athlete. And you don't hear that much when you're talking about straight up tight ends, right?
Right.
This kid is special and he's exciting. And I do not want them to rush him back in fear that it could be some, you know, he re-injures it or whatever and he can't.
Right.
Elevate
or as going we've to be. Seen before, Vince, it's the other parts of the muscles around his knee aren't strong to where they need to be yet, and you end up hurting something like that. Like it leads to another injury. that may seem like a new injury, but it's actually related to rushing a guy back. So, you know, a pulled quad, a torn hamstring, something like that, that's geared towards you put too much strain. You didn't build up right. those muscles enough to the point where you're doing that.
You're that compensating, and then you get right. another injury, right. and it starts right. to compound on itself, and then
right. and Notre Dame's been pretty issue. Good about that.
Sure,
I will
sure.
say that. Like they've been,
and they're deep at tight end. Yeah. I feel like they're deep at tight end, so they right. don't need to rush him back. It's yeah. not a situation where, oh, what do we do if we don't have yeah. you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Like Kane Barong, I was told, has been fully cleared, so he's back to full workouts. You know, I think Kevin Bauman's work. He's still kind of recovering, but his injury wasn't as severe as we thought. So he's working in. Mitchell Evans is working in. Mayer, Holden Stace is healthy. So you're right, Vince. There's a lot of reps to go around, which means right. you know guys don't have to necessarily take a million reps. But you know, you look at Eli Raritan too, and it's not just about oh he's talented. It's like well, okay, but then how does he fit into the depth chart, right? Like that's a thing. And
sure.
the thing about that's unique about Eli is he is kind of a really explosive athlete, right? And vertically, especially like speed jumping, right? And he's 6'6", he's long, he's fast, you know, he's got a really nice burst and all those type of things. Yeah. He's evolved as a route runner, although technically is where he needs the biggest jump. Like that's where
sure
if he doesn't play a lot as a freshman, it's going to be that. It's going to yeah. be learning the offense
because he got away with his athleticism.
Yeah, he can just be better than dudes.
Yeah,
he's got to improve that part of his game, and that's what summer's a lot of that is about, the summer. But you know, because he is a 6'6", 225, you know, you're not lining him up attached to the tackle in a against Ohio State and saying, go block
right.
Zach Harrison.
That's you know what I mean? Just not good coaching, Frank, to be honest right. with you.
Like, you know, you yeah. may motion around, but, you know, it's like find a package where, you know, you're lining him about wide. You're doing different things with him and taking advantage of that part of his game. You know, is he ready to be the full-time number two? I got to see a lot more than that, including strength, but like as far as part of a rotation, and that's what I think we may see a lot at tight end this year, Vince, is not so much a, here's the number two,
right,
and here's absolutely. The number three.
I agree.
But in this package, we like this combo, yep. in this package, we like that combo yep. or that trio, and I think we may see some of that. And I think Eli Raritan brings a lot of that. Then you look at Holden Stace, and you say, and this is what we loved about him when they signed, right, was the complementary nature of what they do. Holden Stace to me is kind of like a bigger version of Tommy Trumbull.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the role where you can actually line him up attached a little bit more, maybe not as a true freshman. We'll see that. But, you know, you can motion him. You can do some H-back stuff. Very willing blocker in high school. Mm-hmm. And he played D-line as well. So I think it helped him understand the need for hand fighting and leverage and all that leverage. Kind of stuff as a defensive player.
Leverage is a big one.
Yeah. He's a guy that's going to could potentially battle for more of that inline role, even though that may not be all he does down the road. Maybe that's his early niche, right? And so I love this combination. I love this duo. And I'm like, man, they're going to be hard to keep off. If they don't play a lot of reps this year, it's because A, they just couldn't pick up the offense, or B, mm-hmm. they forced other people to really step up. Mitchell yeah. Evans has a great offseason, or Kane Barong comes back hungry and healthy, and Kevin Bauman, the light finally goes on, or whatever the case may be. But man, these kids are going to be hard to keep off the field, Vince. And yeah. their presence is why I get excited about tight end, because it's like, well, I don't know about this guy. I'm like, but there's just so many guys that have talent that I'd be shocked if at least one of, because here's the thing, you only need one of the five to really emerge as a full-time kind of guy. Otherwise, you got other guys that can kind of, you know, maybe Mitchell Evans isn't built for this entire role, but he can do this and this really well.
So right.
you use him in that regard. And then,
exactly.
And, you know, you got to be careful, because then when guys are in the field game, you kind of have an idea. So you got to know your own tendencies and take advantage, like, hey, look, when Mitchell Evans is in the game, we're 90-something% run. So next week we're going to go come out. First time we're in this package, we're going to run a play action pass and send only Mitchell Evans down the field just to break that tendency and give teams something to think about, right? So, I mean, that's part of it, but it doesn't mean you still can't use them in roles right. that they're more comfortable.
Absolutely.
Especially if it kind of varies from week to week. So mm-hmm. you just start feeling really good about this because these two kids are healthy and because they're so talented and they're so unique. You know, where Holden Stace and Kane Barong kind of have similar traits, and then Eli Raritan has some similar traits. You know, he's kind of a little bit of the unicorn.
He is the unicorn, right? Yeah.
And Mitchell Evans is kind of in that role, but he's still so evolving as a tight end, you know, having played quarterback and stuff in high school. So, I love this group, but these two freshmen are just truly Notre Dame and A&M to me had the best tight end classes in the country last year. And I wouldn't trade Notre Dame's. The only reason I even throw A&M in there is because they signed three.
Okay.
You know, but as far as a 1-2, there's no 1-2 punch in the country that I'm taking over the group that Notre Dame signed. I mean, I just, the talent is exceptional. And I look at it and people say, you know, what about the pass? I'm like, look, we don't know who's going to step up, but when you add the three pass catchers in the freshman class, Tobias and the two freshmen, and you look at the way the sport's evolved, if you can't get at least one or two of those guys ready to help in some regard, you know, either your depth chart is loaded or you're just still locked too much into the whole expanded playbook thing. And that's the unknown that we don't have right now is that, and I'm not saying that's going to be the case. That's not a criticism of Tommy Rees. It's like, we don't really know what that's going to look like. Right. When he doesn't have Brian Kelly looking over his shoulder. Maybe he takes it even further where he's even more complex, or maybe he dials it back to say, we got to get this dude on the field. I don't know what that's going to look like. We're going to find out. But if you can't get these kids ready to play with what we're hearing about how good they've looked since they've shown up.
Right.
Then, you know, shame on you. That's kind of a more of a you problem.
It's shame on you is what that is, exactly. You know, exactly. And one last thing about the tight ends. And I know this has literally nothing to do with their play on the field, but I don't care. It means something to me. Every scholarship tight end on the roster has a number in the 80s, except for Eli Raridan, who's number 9. And I dig it. I dig the single digit for the tight end, man.
You know, I'm a bit of a,
just saying,
No. It's cool. I mean, it's one of those, I'm not saying you're wrong. It's a personal preference thing, right? Like, you dig that. I get that. I just have always been a little bit of a traditionalist when it comes to tight ends. And I also look at like who the best tight ends have been. I mean, obviously you've had some with single digits, right? Like Kyle Rudolph was number 9. That's been pretty big. But then, you know, then I look at like Michael Mayer was, you know, 87. Tyler Eifert was 80. You know, you look at Derek Brown wasn't he 87, right?
Yeah.
Derek Brown was, I think, 87. You know, Irv Smith was like 84. Oscar McBride was 80. What was Oscar? I think he was 80. So a lot of them, you know, so that's kind of just the era I grew up in. You know what
sure,
I mean?
No, I get
it. It's like, you know, tight ends to me still are 80s. And you look in the NFL, like George Kittle's 85. I mean, you still see in the NFL. So I still like the 80. You know, and Holden Stace is 85, which I really dig for him. But it's just one of those personal, like, a lot of people say, oh, I love Audrey Estime wearing number 7. I think it's a great number, but it's like, I don't know if I like a running back wearing number 7, right? Like, I know Leonard Fournette did it, but it just looks weird on a running back, you know?
Hey, Jerome Bettis made single digit look sexy.
Yeah, okay. But it was 6. That's different. It's just like, I'm saying, like, 7 has a unique, distinct look to it that, I just don't know if I love on a running back. Because I thought that when Leonard Fournette wore it. You know what I mean? Like, it just was like Jerome Bettis, though. That's a different, I mean, that's a whole
because of the shape. Shape.
Exactly. It's not the single digit. Like, I think 1 looks good on a running back. I think 2, when Dexter Williams wore 2, I thought that looked sweet. I think 3, 4, 5, I mean, 5, Reggie Bush wore number 5. It's just 7.
It's John Elway, I mean, man. It's the Elway curse for you.
Maybe it, but think about it. 7 is the most unique looking number from 1 to 9. It's the most unique looking number.
Because it's got a slant. Yes,
exactly. Everything else is either straight or has some kind of curve to it, right? So again, that's why I just think it looks different. But you know, but 9 is acceptable for me though for a tight end. It's acceptable to me. I just you know, I'm old school. I like him in the 80s. But I, at the end of the day, Vince, you know me. I'm like, what number do you think the tight end should wear? Whatever the heck he wants.
Yeah,
as long as the number's available. As long as he makes plays and the number's available, I don't care.
I will never forget. I was in high school. I had a very gruffy defensive coordinator, and I was playing safety. And we played very poorly against a team. Actually, we played poorly against South Bend Riley. It's the school that I coach at now. And they had a tight end who was number 90. And he brutalized us. Like, they just kept throwing to him over and over. And I don't know, for whatever reason, we weren't covering him, you know, that kind of thing. The next day in practice, he was screaming, yelling, 90 is an eligible number, everybody. Right. Like, it was hilarious. Right. That's what I think about every time I think of you know, eligible numbers and all this different stuff. And, 90 is an eligible number when you're going out for a pass.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
It reminds me of the scene from My Cousin Vinny. At the end, when he's doing the tape measure thing, and he goes, how many fingers are holding him up? And the judge is like, let the record show that counselor's holding up 2 fingers. He's like, Your Honor, please. You know what I mean? It's like, thanks for letting everybody say know that 90 is, you know,
yeah, right.
Eligible and, all right. You know, cued in. The tackle is eligible. The tackle is eligible.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
I hate that, by the way,
I get it. I just, I don't like it either. As long as the defense should be responsible for seeing what number a guy is wearing.
Absolutely.
And alignment.
And knowing if they're on the end of the line of scrimmage and all of those different things. Yeah. Like,
you don't walk in and be like, so and so is an eligible blitzer, you know, or so and so is blitzing on this play.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But whatever.
Well,
whatever.
Good stuff.
It is what it is. So, Vince, offensive line-wise, I think that's the one where I don't see a freshman coming in and starting. I don't see a freshman coming in having an impact, like, barring injury. But I'm telling you, from some of the things I've heard about Billy Shrouth, he is going to be a guy that people are going to be talking about, kind of like when Quentin Nelson was a freshman in 2014. Remember, we would hear a lot about – he never played a down because that was before you had the whole – they could play four games type of thing. Yeah. He never played it down. But all year we kept hearing about this Quentin Nelson kid. Boy, this guy is going to be really good. And then, of course, he breaks out and he's a redshirt freshman starter in 2015. He was a great – I mean, Quentin Nelson was always really good.
Yes.
I mean, from the moment he stepped on the field in 15 as a starter, as a redshirt freshman, he was really good. And I'm not saying Billy Shrouth is going to be Quentin Nelson. I'm making the point that I'm going back to sometimes we heard that about Alex Bars at times as well.
You can have an effect on the team.
People notice, hey, this guy's not playing right now, but man, this guy's really good.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a player. I think we're going to have some of that about Billy Shrouth, whether it happens at fall camp or middle of the year, end of the year. At some point in time this year, you're going to start hearing reporters talk about, you know, when they're looking for things to write about, you know, like, hey, I'm hearing things about Billy Shrouth because he's going to be a guy that I think people are going to take notice of.
Yeah.
I've heard that he is up over 300 pounds already. And it's a good 300 plus pounds. He's healthy. He's cleared from what I'm told. He's good to go. He's been in workouts, I'm told. Again, I don't know if that's 100% true. I'm just telling you what I've been told. I don't know the degree if it, you know, he's in workouts, if he's in workouts as part of like rehab or if he's fully healthy. I don't know that.
He's over
He's working out. Yeah, I was told he's over 300 pounds. And it's a good what I was told is when I asked him, I was like, wait a minute, is that like 300 pounds? Wow, that's a lot. He's like, oh, he looks great. Looks like, I mean, he's going to be a dude.
Wow.
So that was a great sign, but and I've heard he's looking really good in the workouts he is doing. So there's a lot of excitement about what Billy Shrouth is going to bring to the table. Where is he going to play? Guard, center? I think that's still to be determined. But I'm hearing a lot of good things about what Billy Shrouth has done so far in workouts. He's the only one so far that I've heard about, but I also haven't asked. That was told to me. I haven't asked.
Sure.
Because I'm like, I'm not asking about an offensive lineman during winter work, you know, summer workouts of a true freshman because they're not going to play anyway.
Exactly. And I only got so many questions.
Yeah. I only got so many minutes in which I can have with sources. I can't just go through the entire roster. I got to be smart. I don't know when the conversation is going to end, so I got to get the ones that are that I really want to know.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
But the one with Billy has been mentioned to me, like that's been brought up to me. And that's when you start getting excited. Is I've always said this, when someone comes to you and they're bringing up a kid that you don't ask about, that's when you really kind of like, oh, okay.
Exactly. Yep.
And that's kind of how it was. I mean, I was starting to hear from about Tobias before I asked about freshmen. That's the thing is like that was being told to me, like Jaden Mickey and Junior Tuilamaka in the spring. People started calling me about them before I even started asking about how the freshmen were doing. Same with Jadarian Price. And I like how that goes. So I think when you look at the emergence of how well Rocco played at the end of the spring and the reports we were hearing about how, because Vince, you and I saw him at the beginning of the spring, and it wasn't good.
It was not good at all.
But from what we heard by the middle end of spring, like Rocco was looking really good. And then with what we're hearing now, again, this is without pads on, right? But I don't think the pads part's the thing we've never been worried about Billy Shrouth, right? Like that's not a concern. But between those two, you start saying like, you know what, guard's going to be in really good hands moving forward.
I love that.
And because again, they're going to both guards are going to be gone after this year, right? I mean, that's the reality of it. So it's going to be good. But I think that Billy Shrouth is going to be a guy that you're starting to hear a lot about as the season goes on. I'm not worried about it right now because barring injury, he's not playing right now. I mean, you've got Patterson, Lug, Kristofic, Rocco. There's plenty of dudes there. This is more about like kind of looking to the future when a couple of those guys for sure are going to be gone after the 2022 season. So, again, the numbers on offense are not deep now that Jadarian Price is out, but the guys that we are hearing about have a chance to really be impact players this year.
So let's jump over to the defensive side of the ball because like you said, we've kind of hit the offensive guys. The defensive side of the ball, there's more names involved here for sure. So let's start in the back.
It's a bigger class.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a really good point. We'll start in the back.
Because real quick, Vince, because Notre Dame signed 1, 2, 3. We didn't talk about Jabron Payne because I just haven't heard anything, and I don't want to spend too much time on him until we find out how he looks and all that. But you signed one quarterback, two running backs, one receiver, and two tight ends. That's six guys. I mean, the other five signees were linemen. which we don't talk a lot about. So they're just the numbers that on offense just aren't going to be. Yeah, there's just not a lot there. Defensively,
there's
a little different story.
Right, right. So let's talk defense. We'll start in the back. We'll work our way up. So we'll start in the defensive backfield. The first kid we're going to talk about is Jaden Mickey. You know, obviously he was an early enrollee. We had an opportunity to get our eyes on him when we were at practice. The coaches have been raving about him. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of the criteria that players. You outlined. Yeah, exactly.
Players
I mean,
rave about him.
This kid brings something special to the defensive backfield for Notre Dame from a confidence standpoint, from a playmaker standpoint, all of the above. He is forcing himself into the conversation when it comes to playing, you know, serious minutes, frankly, on defense. And I love that attitude from a guy on defense because the position that he plays, you're going to get beat. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to get beat, period. And it's how he doesn't care, man. He'll get beat. And while he's getting beat, he'll talk trash to you, you know? And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in a positive way. He's extremely confident. He has a one-track mind. He will forget about the last play, whether it was good or bad. He will continue on doing his thing, which is at a very high level. And so I'm super excited about Jaden Mickey and what he brings to the table, man.
When other players start talking about a guy, whether it's, man, this kid's going to be good, or man, this guy drives me crazy. Because when an offensive player starts talking about how a defensive player drives him crazy, it's usually because that guy's getting in him. It's like he's getting in his grill. He's getting in his face. He's stopping him. Nobody hates a defensive player that they dominate. They love that. They love defensive players and they dominate. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's a good thing. It's like, man, this guy just – he works. He never – you could beat him one snap and he just – it's like it didn't even happen. Like he's got that – we talk about that short memory.
Yes, that's got that. That's what I was referring to. Yes.
You could smoke him on one play, and the next play, like, remember the clip where Braden Lindsay just runs by him and just crushes him? When you see him running back, you see Jaden yapping at Braden. It's like, dude, he just beat you by 15 yards.
Doesn't even care.
He doesn't care.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't even care. Like, you know, hey, you got this one.
Don't care. It's not that he's not bothered that he got beat. That's not what we're talking. It's just more of like, oh, you know, you better enjoy that because you're never doing that again. It's that. That's what we mean. It's like when we say don't care, it's like it just doesn't get him down. It doesn't affect him the next play. If anything, he's going to be locked in. He's going to be ticked. He's going to make sure, hey, you're not going to beat me on that double move again.
And that's what he's telling him. He's
we
like,
talked
hey.
About that with Kyle Hamilton as a freshman. Remember during fall camp of his freshman year, we would say, like, you know, there was one time where Kyron Williams just torched him on a corner route.
Yes.
And then, like, a week later, you're like, he's locking down every corner route out there because he's like, I'm not getting beat like that again. And, you know, it just – and that's what you kind of look for is like guys are going to get beat, but you don't want something to happen constantly.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that I look at with Jaden Mickey is he's got that short memory where and short memory means I'm not worried about getting beat. You still need to think about the play because why did you get beat? Was it what was your coverage technique? Did you blow your coverage? Did you not read the route properly? Did you bite for this move? Did you whatever you did? You got to learn from that. When we talk about not letting it bother you, it's more referring to you just don't let you get down. Gary Gray, perfect example. Gary Gray could not get over the big plays he gave up against Michigan in 2011, and it just ruined his career. And he just couldn't get over it. And other guys, you know, Kavari Russell is a lot like Jaden Mickey reminds me so much of Kavari because that's what we heard about Kavari just nonstop. Just like I just had this vision of Kavari like talking trash in his sleep. Like if you're his roommate, it had to be like horrible. Like he's just like, you know, you're just talking in sleep. And when Kavari would get beat, okay, fine. You're not going to do that again. I'm going to come right back at you.
Exactly.
Jaden's got a lot of that swagger that Kavari had and similar body type, similar athleticism. There's like a lot of similarities between him and Kavari. And what did Kavari do as a true freshman? He started on a team that played for a championship. I don't know if Jaden's going to have that ability just because of the returning depth, you know, but he's a kid, Vince, that he can help you two spots. He can play field and he can play in the slot.
Yeah, nickel.
And you know, so technically Clarence Lewis is the boundary, but if Jaden Mickey's your second best corner, clearly you can either move him to the boundary or you can move Cam to the boundary and you can have Jaden be your field. But this is a kid that's going to play. As long as he stays healthy, Jaden Mickey's going to play. The question is where and how much, but he's going to play.
Right.
I'm actually pretty confident in Treat Bracey as a slot. And I've heard some really good things about the spring he had as a slot, about the confidence level the coaches have. He really emerged this spring from a leadership standpoint, from a playmaking standpoint, from a consistency standpoint. That's always been the big thing with Tariq Bracey. He'll look like, I remember Florida State game in 2018 as a true freshman and just locking down Florida State. I mean, they just kept trying to run deep routes on him, and he just was like running with them. You know, I remember how good he was against Georgia in 2019. I mean, he was really good against Georgia.
Yeah.
And then you look at how bad he was against, like, Virginia later in the year. You know, just it's the consistency for Tariq has always been the issue.
Yep.
So that was a good thing to hear. So I don't know how much slot action is going to be there for Jaden, but, you know, I think it's a role where he could do it. But he's going to be hard to keep off the field. And if he doesn't play this year, because there's already a lot of faith in him with the coaches, if he doesn't play, it means Clarence Lewis had a really, really good offseason, which is fun.
It's great.
I don't care who plays. I just want the guy that can help you go win a championship.
I want the best guy on the field. I don't care who it is, to be honest.
Jaden Mickey, he's at least going to play special teams a lot, but he's going to play this year. There's what capacity, what volume, that remains to be seen.
The rotation, is he starting? But you know,
he's too good to keep on the field. And, you know, you look at the freshman class in general, Benjamin Morrison is obviously still kind of new at this. He didn't have the spring.
Right.
Heard a lot of good things about his size, his athleticism. He was moving around, you know, but obviously people know that I was very high on him coming out of high school. And, you know, will he be able to help as a freshman? I hope so. I think he needs to. But at the very least, you know, get on special teams and then eventually maybe work your way into the rotation. But, you know, cornerback play for these freshmen is not going to be as easy as people think get on the field, because there are guys like Ryan Barnes and Phillip Riley and Chance Tucker that are also battling with Clarence Lewis and Tariq Bracey for playing time. But this freshman class, Vince, is going to be really, really hard to keep off the field in so many ways, and corner's no different. Like I said, at the very least, Jaden Mickey's on special teams against Ohio State. How much will he play at receive corner? I don't know. But it's not – if he doesn't play against Ohio State, I'd be a little surprised. But it won't be very long until he's out there playing more and more and more as a cornerback. He's just too good and too confident and too productive to me not to be on the field, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And this is the first time that I can remember for a while that we are talking about, what, five or six different corners with the opportunity to play meaningful minutes for Notre Dame, depending on how things shake out. And that's exciting to me all by itself, to be honest with you, just based on the depth issues and the, you know, the issues that Notre Dame has had at corner and from a depth perspective. And we're talking like six guys who we think can play for Notre Dame. And that's, to me, that's exciting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And again, I don't care who it is. I don't care who wins out. I don't have a dog in the fight, to be honest with you. My dog is already the best corner on the campus, so it's all good. I'm excited to see who actually does beat who out and gets on the field for that playing time, because that means that they won that battle, and that's the important thing. The competition level has risen at corner at Notre Dame, and that part excites me.
Exactly, and we're going to talk a lot about corners over the next week in a lot of different ways, so buckle up. But the two they got coming in right now are going to be really good.
Absolutely.
Really, really good players. No question about it.
So, Brian, we know that the linebacker class of 22 was fantastic. Number one linebacker class in the country. Yay, nay, yay. I think you said that.
I think so, yeah. You know, Ohio State is in the conversation. I personally like Notre Dame's better. But Ohio State's was in the conversation. Like, if somebody said I said this all along. If somebody wants to tell me that Ohio State's better, I'll say, okay, I think it's their name, but all right, cool. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's not like somebody says, well, I think so-and-so's, but are you kidding me? Like, their number third guy isn't even as good as Notre Dame's. Like, their number one guy's not as good as Notre Dame number three guy. But Ohio State's is the only one that's in the conversation. And I actually think, if I remember correctly, Vince, I actually think Lindy's, which is the one that does the freshman, I think Lindsay's, I think, had Notre Dame's linebackers as the number one group, or it was either Notre Dame's or Ohio State's. If you just give me a second, I'm going to go to the recruiting portion of the Lindy's. So they had freshmen. Yeah, Lindy's had Notre Dame's linebacking core ahead of Ohio State's. Now, they did not have Sonny Styles listed there, so I don't know if they listed him as a defensive back.
Yeah, the defensive back,
But or not, but obviously he's a guy that's in there. But again, I still take Notre Dame's four over Ohio State's three, even with Sonny Styles.
Yeah.
So moral of the story, it's really good.
Yeah, moral of the story.
So good that they've already moved Josh Burnham to defensive end.
Correct. Yes.
I mean, yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So we're talking about the number one linebacker, you know, linebacking core in the country coming in. If we're not talking about them potentially having an effect on the linebacking core at Notre Dame, that would be silly, right? So number one guy, at least for me, I don't want to speak for Brian. Number one guy for me with an opportunity is Junior Tuialamaka.
Yeah. Look, as a whole, this linebacker class is going to play this year. Right. They're going to play. I'll be shocked if at least three of them aren't starting on special teams, like right away, like within the first month of the season. Absolutely. If not right away. Nolan Ziegler is going to be a special teams animal. He's going to be a faster version of Bo Bauer.
Yes.
Like absolutely. As a special teams guy. That's what he's going to be right away. I've heard, and we've told us in the spring, and I've heard it still this summer, he doesn't run with the linebackers in sprints because he just smokes them. I mean, he just kills
them. It's not fair.
Right. And they actually have him running with, like, I've been told, like, DBs and receivers and stuff. That's how fast Nolan Ziegler is. To the point where, like, you know, there's been jokes about, hey, man, if we need a receiver this year, you know, let's go get that kid. And he's not a receiver, but, like, that's right. He's 6'4", and he's really fast.
Yeah.
He's going to be a starter on special teams, barring injury. I just that's just going to be the case. I'll be shocked if Junior Tuialamaka is not starting on some special teams. I'll be floored if Jalen Snead's not playing a lot on special teams. And so that and then I'd throw Josh Burnham into that as well. I'm going to have Josh Burnham potentially working in there as well. And it's not because I just want to throw all the freshmen on special teams. It's like these are your biggest, most athletic guys you have on the roster.
Right. Why would you not use them?
Right. Outside of Marist. Right. Like these guys are going to earn that.
And these guys aren't 5-year players,
right?
So if they're not going to be 5-year players,
Nolan's the only one, maybe,
right?
Maybe because of the Notre Dame connection and all that. But
sure,
no, these guys are 5-year players.
Don't put them on the sidelines because you think they're going to be 5-year players and waste a year of eligibility.
Right?
That's you put them so they can have an impact on your team. And in game one at Ohio State, and this is going to be the most cliche thing I say all day. You know. Special teams is a third of the game, and you need to win that aspect of it if you want to win that game. Put your best on the field. Those guys would be considered part of that group.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
I think for me, there's two mistakes you can make when it comes to special teams, Vince, and it's relative to this conversation. The reason I want to mention it.
Okay.
One is that you don't play kids on special teams who would be starters to save a year of eligibility. Like you can't give lip service to how important special teams is, but then say, well, we're not going to start play a kid who should be a starter because we don't want to lose a year of eligibility.
Right.
As long as the kid's physically capable of playing. Right. So I don't like that. Then the flip side is you just throw a lot of young guys out there who are talented.
Right.
That you can't get on the field on defense or offense and say, well, we'll just put them on special teams. You've got a balance of we got to find the best guys for the special teams. And we think they will be. At least 2 to 3 of them will be that. So it's not like you're just, well, yeah, this guy may be better, but, you know, he's a walk-on and all this. We want to get the scholarship kid out there. No, if the walk-on is better at that role, then play the walk-on. If the senior linebacker is better in that role – then play. But that's also why I think the special teams is going to be so good. I start thinking about all the guys running down on kickoff, and I'm like, Osita Ekwonu. I start thinking about Maris. I start thinking about, you know, Bo Bauer. I start thinking about Jack Kaiser, Ramon Henderson, Xavier Watts. Yeah, said it's weird. Ramon Henderson, Xavier Watts, Ryan Barnes. You know, I mean, you start throwing the Jaden Mickey, Benjamin Morrison, then the freshman linebackers. You're like, man. They are going to – I have a buddy who coaches special teams at the Power 5 level, and he was coaching against Notre Dame a couple years ago. And I remember him – he called me before the game. He's like, dude, this is just dumb. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, they've got a bunch of 6'3", 230-pound linebackers running 4-5s down on kickoff team. And I was like – he's like, we have no chance.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's like, how do I block that? He was joking. He was just kind of venting. I mean – but you know, but
it comes from a place of truth and honesty, yes, too. I mean,
exactly. And it was kind of funny because it's like nobody else has that. All right. And this team is going to have even more of that, you know, because that was like Batelho and Bo Bauer. And, you know, I think Osita was part of that. No, he was hurt. Was he hurt in 2020? I can't remember. But they just had these, you know, these really talented young players running down on kickoff. And it's going to even be more of that this year. Same with like the kick return, you know, like don't be shocked if Junior Tuilamaka is not on the front line of the kick return team or that second level of the kick return team, you know? So I think those guys are all going to play on special teams and be an impact. Now the question is, Vince, is will they have a chance to play as linebacker? And, you know, as they circle back around to the original point you made.
Yeah.
You
know, right.
Reason I ended with Junior is I also think Junior's going to be on there because he is going to be in the rotation or at least have a shot to be in a rotation. Because his combination of size plus athleticism plus instincts is outstanding. And he was a guy that no matter who I talked to, whenever I talked to people, sometimes I'd ask it. Sometimes, a lot of times, though, it wasn't being offered. It wasn't being asked. It was just offered. Hey, I went to practice today. You know, whether it's a booster's at practice, whether it's a former player, whether it's a source that I have at Notre Dame. I mean, it's just always like, hey, dude, this 44 is going to be a beast. And a lot of people that saw him like had no clue who he was because they don't follow recruiting.
Right.
You know, they're like former players. They don't follow recruiting. They're just at practice like, who's that guy?
Right.
You know, that guy's really good. And it was always 44 and 21. That was always what I said, man, it's 44. It's 21. These guys are really, really good players. 44 is obviously Junior Tuilamaka. And so the advantage that he has over like a Jalen Snead is he physically looks like a junior in college
life. 100%. He does not look like a kid who's still supposed to be in high school a few weeks ago.
Yeah, should have been getting ready for prom last month. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
He is built. I mean, he is a tank. And that's, I mean, you know, the Manti comparisons can be a little lazy. And like, you know, people say, well, he's from the, you know, he's a Polynesian and he's blah. But it's like, sometimes it's like, it's easy because
it's true.
It's really accurate.
Yeah, right. You know?
And it's the instincts, it's the size, it's the it's because Manti was physically ready to play as a freshman.
Yes.
And Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah was not, right? Like Jalen Smith was. You know, some other guys were not, you know. And you know, it took Drew Tranquil a couple years to develop. If Drew Tranquil came to Notre Dame as a linebacker, he would not have played as a freshman.
No, not at all. Right. That's why he started out. Slowly moving toward the line.
What I was saying more is like, let's just say they would have decided, hey, you're going to be a linebacker day one. Yeah, he's not playing as a freshman at linebacker.
Agreed.
He might have been on special teams, but sure, he wouldn't have played a linebacker because he just wouldn't have physically been able to do it. Junior steps in with the ability to do it.
Yes.
And that's the key. And that's kind of my hold up on Nolan Ziegler kind of pushing for playing time is, you know, he showed up at like 205. Now he's put some good weight on and he's really filled out, but you know, is Nolan going to be physically ready to play linebacker every snap? That I need to see in the spring, Vince. I think even in the fall camp. In spring, he still looked super athletic, but he was still learning the defense. There was a lot going on. You know, these kids are swimming because Al Golden just kind of threw everything at him, and it's like, it's up to you to catch up, right? And they're starting to, from what I'm told. Junior picked it up pretty quickly. The thing about Nolan is, got to remember, Nolan was a receiver and a rover in high school.
Right. He wasn't an inside.
He didn't play a ton of inside linebacker. It's a completely different eye discipline for a guy.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, in high school, they just kind of let him go make plays. You know, now it's about being within the structure of the defense. And, you know, I'm told that he's coming along, but that's going to be the big thing for him at linebacker. And then, of course, you've got Maris Luofau and Prince Kali ahead of you, which makes a challenge too. So that makes it a little bit difficult, but there's a little bit more of a clean path there at Mike.
Yes.
For Junior to beat people out. I mean, not even like, obviously if injuries happen, but either, you know, he only has to beat one of JD Bertrand and Bo Bauer out. to be the, because they're going to play two mics.
Absolutely. Right?
They have for several years now. I think 2018 was the last time they just played one guy exclusively at mic, and that was Tavon Coney. 19, they rotated. 20, they rotated. 21, they rotated. And this year, they'll rotate. They'll That's rotate, just kind of what they believe in. Now, one guy may dominate the reps, but two guys are going to play.
Right.
And so he only has to beat out one. And as I've said before, I'm not in that group of people that wants to write off J.D. Bertrand. I think J.D. Bertrand was a good player last year. Not a great player, good player. But moving him to Mike projects even better.
I agree completely.
But if he gets hurt or there's any slippage at all, Junior's a good enough player to say, I got this, right? I got this. So it's going to have to keep those veterans on their toes. It really is. And Bo Bauer especially is a guy that is going to have to really be careful. Bo's going to be a special teams warrior. He's going to probably still be on the third down package or at least have a shot to be on the third down package. But as far as the number two Mike, he's going to have a battle on his hands. As if Junior, because we've seen guys have good springs and then kind of tailor off and fall. If Junior continues trending the direction he has, he's going to be a hard guy to keep off the field because he's built like a tank. I mean, he is a really impressive looking kid.
Yeah, I look, you know my affinity for Bo Bauer. That will never change. I just, from watching what Junior did as an early enrollee freshman, to see what he is physically, and to know about JD for that matter, right? And what you said, he's more suited for the middle side, for middle than he is for weak side. I have a feeling it's going to be JD one and it's going to be Junior two, and then Bo's going to have his spots, third down package, special teams, et cetera. I think that's still going to be his role. And I think Junior's going to be the number two. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just feel that way. And it's nothing against Bo. It's just that's how much I revere and think that Junior, how good he is, to be honest with you. And it's how good I think JD will be moving to the inside. Mm-hmm. So I don't see how you keep Junior off the field. He's just too darn good. Yeah. And yes, is there a possibility he takes a step back in the fall? Sure. I just don't see it. I see him taking that step forward because I think he's not going to be drinking out of the water hose or, you know, the fire hose anymore. Mm-hmm. Things are going to slow down for him a little bit more. He's not going to be playing just based on instinct, which was pretty good to begin with. I just think the whole game slows down for him and he is just going to be a monster. I do.
Yeah. And then it comes down to the next guy's Jalen Snead.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think he's the guy of all the linebackers, his path to playing time is probably the cleanest, depending on sort of how they use Jordan Bataho.
Sure.
I think how they use Jordan Bataho is going to have an impact on just how much we could see Jalen. Jalen's thing in the spring was the same as it was with Burnham and the same as it was with Ziegler, is they were swimming in the playbook. I mean, just drowning, you know.
Basically. Right.
You know, that's maybe the better way of we understand what swimming means, but maybe drowning might be more
fair enough.
A better explanation for the people in the chat. And so he wasn't playing fast, right? Because he was thinking too much. I mean, I'd see clips and it's like, once he took off, he was really athletic, but it was like, well, what's he waiting on? He doesn't know what's happening. Right.
Right.
And again, Junior's a kid, or Jalen's a kid that's played defensive end. He's played Rover. He played quarterback as a senior.
Now you focus in.
Right. Right. And so how quickly does that light go on? That's a question mark, but he's very athletic. I've told his work ethic has continued to increase. Cause again, guys like Jalen, you know, they're so talented and they work hard. They think they're working as hard as they can. Then they get to Notre Dame and they're like, okay, there's another level, right? When we say that, some people take it as he doesn't work hard. No, just sometimes really physically gifted guys are so much better than everybody else that they think the work they're putting in is why they're there.
Right.
And then they get to Notre Dame or Georgia or Ohio State and you realize, like, there's another level I got to take this sucker to. And I'm hearing that that's continuing to improve. And that's going to be a key too. But he's got to figure out the defense, which is the same for Nolan Ziegler. Those two guys, is they got to figure out the defense. Because I think both of them could still play Rover. I think Nolan's being transitioned into Will because he's grown so much and he's so long and big. I think they view him more as an inside guy, but he could easily go back out to Rover as well.
Sure.
I think one of those guys is going to have to find a home this year because I don't know if you want to have Jack Kaiser being a 60 snap guy at Rover. I think Jack is on the smaller side and I worry about, you know, him wearing down. You know what I mean? And I want him fresh in November. Sure. I want him fresh against Clemson. I want him fresh against USC. I want him fresh against BC. And so I would like to see earlier in the season, maybe Jack doesn't play. I mean, Ohio State's, you do whatever you got to do to win the game. If one guy's got to play every single snap, you play one guy. But after that, for the next month or so, I'd like to see them kind of work some of those younger younger guys or different packages in the game.
Sure.
Just to give Jack a breather. And then if you need to play him, if you need to ramp the reps up in November again, some of those bigger games, then you can, and he's fresher.
Right.
Is where I'm coming from. And then that's where you can kind of get some of those younger guys. Because, like, you may say, hey, look, against Ohio State, we're not playing this guy. I don't trust him yet. But let's give him maybe a shot in the first or second quarter against Marshall.
Yeah.
Or UNLV. And I hope we see more of that with this group. And that's where these freshmen could have an opportunity. But Jalen Snead is such a twitchy, explosive athlete. You kind of wonder, like, are they going to really be able to keep him off the field? That's the thing. And, right. And but the lights got to go on from a scheme pickup standpoint, which is true for all the freshman linebackers and really all the defense as well, because they're not going to dumb down the defense for the freshmen. The freshmen are going to have to pick it up. And then it's about, okay, he does this, so we'll put him in that role. That's the thing. It's like, they don't have to master the playbook, but they've got this is what you do with freshmen, right? This is one of the ways you throw everything at them and then just see how much they can over time get. And then once you feel like they have a hand at least on something, then you carve them into that role as a freshman. Right. And, but you still want them to try to learn everything instead of immediately putting them into that niche role.
Right.
You try to throw everything at them in the spring, then let them evolve, let them develop, and then find that niche for them. And Absolutely. We'll see if Jalen Snead can have that. But I just have a hard time not seeing all of those kids, including Josh Burnham, who's now a Viper. I have a hard time not seeing those guys on the field some way, somehow, whether it's third down packages, whether it's special teams, all that kind of stuff. I just have a really hard time not seeing those guys on the field some way, somehow.
Right. Well, let's put it this way, that there are options. there are Right. options. You know what I mean? And you can have positional options. You could have situational options. You have options, and you have legitimate options, not just, well, let's get some other guys on the field to try to save the legs of the starters. No, these guys can come in and they can give you significant minutes, significant plays, significant snaps, and there's not going to be that much of a drop off. Like, mm-hmm. this is a great place to be if you're Al Golden, man. I'm telling you, this is exciting. And, you know, you talked about Josh Burnham. I mean, he literally grew out of the role of a linebacker almost overnight. Like, he came onto campus, he looks like a Viper. He doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. look like right. a linebacker. You know what I mean? So I like that move, especially early on. It's like, hey, we're going to put you here. Learn this. Right. I actually really like that move.
I didn't at the time, but I heard Josh did. And okay. I was like, okay, cool. That's fine, right? Okay. Like, that's fine. I still would have liked to have seen him get a chance at linebacker, but they made a decision of, this kid is already 230.
Yeah.
And he's still skinny.
Yes.
I mean, that was the thing. Like, you saw him, Vince, he was still skinny.
Yeah.
This kid's going to be 250 easy. And he's just going to be – and he's so much bigger. Like, Josh has always been super long, but he's really filling out. And it was just kind of like, we got to find a, you know, and it was taking time to learn. I mean, he was a quarterback, and we always talked about how he was going to learn better technique and all that. And they just said, hey, this kid's fastest path to playing is just,
right.
is there. I wanted to see him play linebacker selfishly, because how much I love him as a linebacker. But once I was told that Josh was on board with it, I was like, all right, cool. I'm on board with that.
Right.
Cause that's ultimately, if the kid's not on board, then he's not going to buy in.
Right.
That's the reality of it. But I've been told he's going to buy in. But look, there's going to be competition, right? You've got Aiden Goldbyer at that position. I think Aiden could eventually grow into a big end.
Right.
And then Tyson could grow into a three technique. And then, I mean, so there, it's easy to envision getting all four of them on the field together, because you have Donovan Heinisch in that class, Tyson Ford and Goldbyer. And we'll kind of transition into the defensive line now, Vince. Is, you know, there's a path to all four playing at some point. You know, Heinisch at nose, Tyson at three, Aiden at the big end, because he's got a great – he's skinny now, but he's got a nice frame. He could be 250-plus in a more traditional four-down alignment, even though you can't be a old-school 4-3 with the D-end outside, like in a 9. I'm going to talk about that, where you just don't need a 285-pounder, you know. So there's a chance he could grow into that. And then, of course, you'll have the 2023 class showing up at some point in time.
Right. But
the reality is that three of these kids are going to have a chance to find a role. Like, even with Aiden Goldbyer, I'll be shocked if Aiden Goldbyer is on the field this year.
Yeah.
In an every down role. I'll be shocked if Josh Burnham's playing defensive end in an every down role. What I won't be surprised by is if they kind of force their way into some nickel package looks at times. Am I predicting it? No. But would it surprise me? No, because they just bring, even if it's just like he's the number two.
Right.
And, you know, like here's the thing, like I would anticipate the nickel being a lot like last year. You have Foskey, you have the Adamiolas, and then another either edge player or most likely like a defensive tackle, whether it's Riley Mills or Cross or Lacey, whoever, right? That's kind of what they've done. But if it's a series where like Justin Adamiola's kind of been at end and he's been in for six or seven straight plays, and you may have a nickel where you're like, hey, you know, so-and-so, you're in for Justin here in this nickel as the number two, and Justin's getting a breather or something like that, right? You know, those things can happen at times as well. Or it could be Foskey's played eight straight snaps and you need to get to replace – Gobira's coming in for him, or Burnham's coming in for him on a nickel. You get what I'm saying, Vince, mm-hmm. right? So
yeah.
I could see something like that happening. But it's because where they are is they're really explosive athletes, but, you know, they're still guys that are 225, 230 pounds that need to build up their bodies
yeah.
before they're really ready to take that full-time Absolutely. Role. But when guys are that athletic, Vince, it's easy to find homes for them. You know, find somewhere for them to be able to play. And that's going to be what I want to see from that group is providing sort of that impact to what they're doing.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Tyson Ford is a kid who physically looks ready to play.
Yes. Right? That's a big boy.
But he doesn't have to, you know what I mean? Like yeah. they've got depth at those positions right now. Now, if he forces his way in, then so be it. Like, okay, that sounds great. But when you look at him, you're like, okay, this kid can probably play. And if this was 5 years ago when they had to count on freshmen coming in, you'd feel pretty good about Tyson Ford and his physical maturity mm-hmm. as a true freshman, right? The benefit of the depth chart now is that you don't have to throw him into the fire as quickly as you had to in the past. I think that's going to benefit him for sure.
Mm-hmm. Tyson got a little banged up in the spring and missed some time, which I think hurt a little bit. But to your point, Vince, this is a big athletic kid.
Oh, yeah.
And that position, even more than others, is one where you can play a lot of guys. So as long as Tyson has a good offseason, as long as he's healthy, I expect him to. I think he's the guy of all the defensive linemen. If I had to predict one that's going to play as a freshman, it'd be him.
Yes.
It'd be him. Yeah. And now Donovan Heinisch is going to come out and make us all look stupid and be that guy. Right. Like that's what the Heinisches do. Right. Like, you want to not talk about, you want to overrate. Okay, sure. Yeah. Let me, that's just what they do. That's what the family does.
Yeah.
Make doubters look stupid.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, just looking on talent, skill, size, all that. I mean, Tyson's got it all. I mean, and we quickly forget about the freshmen. Like, why do we not talk about Gobira, Burnham, and Tyson Ford? Because all we're talking about is Keon Keeley, Devin Houston. You know what I mean? That's just kind of what the world we live in now.
Yep, it is. But
Tyson Ford was, you know, a Jason Moore type last year, a Boubacar Traore type last year. You know what I mean? Like, he was Brendan Vernon last year. You know, he was a top 100 player that was a big-time pickup.
Good reason.
Right, right. And he's going to have a chance to help. And, you know, and as long as you know, and this is a question for all freshmen, as long as he puts in the work, as long as he stays confident in himself, which again is an issue for freshmen,
sure.
And as long as he takes to coaching, again, this is for all freshmen, but especially for a kid of Tyson's talent, these are not questions about Tyson specifically. They're questions of all freshmen that are especially related to him because of his talent.
Sure.
To where, because you got to say that now, because then people say, oh, you know, they said that Tyson Ford doesn't work hard. Now, what we're saying, if all those things check out,
right,
he's just a guy that's too hard to keep off the field. And look, injuries are going to happen on the defensive line. Someone's going to get hurt.
Right.
And that's how a kid like him slides into the mix, because he can play on the edge as a five technique, or as a five technique, as a seven technique in that big end role. He can slide inside and play some three technique in nickel pass rushing situations. He's 6'4 plus. He's 260 plus already. He's got very long arms. He's a very disruptive player. He's a guy that's going to have a chance to play this year. Now, again, do I expect Tyson Ford to have a, you know, a starting role, a 40 plus snap a game role? No, they don't need him to do that though.
Not at all.
You know, it's a, you know, could he get 10 to 15 snaps and be disruptive? Yeah. That's what I'm hoping to see from the freshman defensive lineman. I'm hoping that they are so too good not to play. That's what I'm hoping for.
Exactly.
And of all of them, I think, because the reason I go with Tyson over Josh and Aiden Vince, it's easy. He's 40 pounds, like 30 to 40 pounds bigger than they are.
More physically ready. I mean,
right.
Take the punishment that you're going to take as a defensive lineman in major Division I football. I mean, when you walk into a room and those three guys are standing there, they're all impressive. Tyson Ford is the most impressive. That's just that's the eyeball test. You know what I mean? And that's just is what it is.
Right. So that's where I am on defense, Vince. I mean, there's a lot of guys are gonna have a hard
time. A lot of guys, man,
a chance to play.
And there's a lot of options here for the coaching staff. And there's a lot of, well, if this guy doesn't work out, this guy doesn't pan out, or this guy gets injured, we got a great plan B ready to go. Like, these guys are going to be waiting in the wings, hungry to get out there and show what they've got. And that's the most exciting part for me. If they're not starting, man, they're chomping at the bit to get their chance.
Yep. And some of these guys are going to end up on scout team. That's just the reality of it.
Sure.
And that's something that also has me excited. And we don't talk a lot about this, and it's not a sexy conversation. So we won't talk about it very long. But the reality is if you have legit ballers on your scout team that are just young and you're just buried on, that makes your offense better.
Yes, sir.
If the offensive tackles are having to block Josh Burnham and Aiden Gobira and Tyson Ford on a consistent basis because those guys happen to be on scout team early in the year, that's going to make the offense better.
Yes.
Because there are very few defensive linemen that Notre Dame is going to face this year that have the twitchiness and the explosiveness and the length that those kids are going to bring to the table. Ohio State has some guys like that. Clemson has some guys like that. You know, after that, you know, it's a different – there aren't a lot of guys on a board like that. And so those are things, too. If Jalen Snead's down there playing Rover on scout team the first few weeks, guess what? Then they're gonna be going against a really athletic Rover that's going to be more athletic than anybody that they're going to face on Saturday. Same thing with Nolan Ziegler. I mean, right, on and on and on. Those are areas where freshmen can help as well. I hope a lot of them are on a scout team just because I want them to play. But if they are, that's going to make the offense better. Make
them better, though, too, because they're going to have an opportunity to go up against the first team a lot.
Yes.
That's only going to make them better.
Like, let's say Benjamin Morrison's your fifth corner or sixth corner early on. So you have Cam Hart, you have Tariq, you have Clarence Lewis, you have Barnes, and you have Mickey. Right. Let's just say those guys are ahead of him right now just because they've been in there.
Sure.
He's going to be better off being on scout team going against Dion and Styles and Tobias than he is getting third team reps on the starting the varsity offense defense where he, you know, you kind of come in, you play like limited snaps. That's just how you break up the rotation.
Yeah.
I would much rather say, hey, go down there and play down there and get that work. Even if it's just early in the week, I would much rather see that. Then a guy be the third. Like if Nolan Ziegler is third on a linebacker, I want to see him running down playing scout team. I want to see him getting reps. They need reps. See ball, get ball, right? And those are things that I want to see this group get a chance to do. And if early in the season they're doing that on scout team, I think that helps them.
Yeah.
And a lot of people view scout team as like a punishment. And sometimes it is. Sometimes you use it as punishment, But being on there is not necessarily – I mean, it isn't – I mean, if you're a defensive lineman, you're getting to go against Blake Fisher and Joe Alt and Jarrett Patterson every day. If you start making plays against them, you know –
not going to be on the scout team.
And good coaches and good coaching staffs will look at scout team film. And maybe not directly, but like during a bye week, you may go back or you may tell the GA, hey, go watch practice film this week. Watch the scout team. See how Tyson did. See how Aiden did. Whatever. Coaches will talk like, man, so-and-so is kicking our butt this week, man. You guys – and we've heard that before, you know, where I remember one time I was talking to an offensive coach in Notre Dame, and he's like, man, I don't tell the defensive staff nothing about this kid. And I'm like, why? Because he had told me how good this – it was. I can't remember who it was. It was a linebacker. And it might have been Marist. I can't remember which guy it was. But he was like, man, this kid is so good. He's blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, you tell the defense. He goes, I'm not telling them a dang thing. I said, why not? Because I don't want them to take him off. He gives us such a great look.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, if they want to watch the film, they can watch the film. But I'm not telling them that because they're going to snatch him up. Every time I tell them about how good a kid is doing, they snatch him up and he goes and sits and gets like no reps on varsity.
Right.
I want him to help us because he's making us better. Because if we can start blocking this kid, I know we're going to be all right on Saturday. So that is part of it too. And it's not sexy and it's not, you know, but it's a very important part of your football team being built for success. And that's just the reality of it. And so to me, you have to have the right mindset of how you approach the scout team with your team.
Right.
So that guys, I mean, you're going to be disappointed if you're not in the varsity, but you also have to look at it as you play a very important role and success in this role. Trust me, if I'm Al Washington and I got to send some of those guys down, let me tell you something. I will see every rep you take. I will evaluate you on every – I'm going to evaluate you on your hustle, your work, all this. And, you know, if you do what you need to do down there, there's you'll be up here, right? Don't go down there thinking like, oh, this is BS, or you know, if you go down there and do that, then you're going to stay down there. But if you go down there and put in work, trust me, we're going to see that. Mm-hmm. And that's the motivation that you need to give to kids. And you're helping us win. If our offense goes out and scores 40 this week, you helped us with that. Yep. You know, if Tyson Ford or Aiden Gobira is playing the Zach Harrison role all week against Notre Dame going into Ohio State and they shut Zach Harrison down, hey, you helped with that. That's why you give Scout Team Player of the Week.
Exactly.
You know, and that helps you win, yep. Right? Whereas if you're putting a walk-on kid down there going against them, it's like, the speed that Zach Harrison is going to show compared to the walk-on kid is like, it's way different. But if you're having to block Aiden Gobira and Josh Burnham and Tyson Ford all week, you're going to be ready for what you see over there. And that's going to be the important thing. So Vince, that's going to do it for this part of the show. We're going to do a mailbag next, but obviously before we transition to that, I want to remind people about two shows tonight, 6 o'clock PM. Sean Stiers is going to be there for IB Nation Sports Talk. Then at 8 o'clock, we're going to have our recruiting show where we will cover the announcement by 2024 star receiver Cam Williams. We'll get ready for him, and we will cover what he does, and we will talk about what that means for Notre Dame and kind of what's next and all that other kind of stuff and kind of go from there. So we'll kind of roll through that as well. So let's dive into the Q&A here, Vince, right? Anything else that you wanted to add on the freshman before we transition into the mailbag?
Nothing specific. Just this is the largest freshman group that I think we've ever talked about going into a season with a legit opportunity to give meaningful minutes to both sides of the football. Mm-hmm. And that's what gets me excited about this group, right? And again, it's not because they need to. It's because they will. You know what I mean? Because they're that good. That's what excites me about this group. One of the things I love about college football is you kind of have to reshape your team every year based on guys that have left, new guys coming in. I love that about college football. That's my favorite because I love the building of the foundations and all these different things. The coaches got to be licking their chops, man. That's what I'll say. Coaches have got to be super excited about this group coming in because not only do they have a ton of talent, but they're going to push the guys that are already on the roster. Right. That's more than you could ask for. That's great.